Well, praise God. Get your Bibles out this morning, church. I want to welcome everybody here. I'm glad you're here at church and all those that are with us today on whatever format they may be, watching or listening. Glad y'all are here. Had a real cool testimony just a while ago of a person who was considering coming to church here. And they were talking to somebody that does come to church here, and they said, well, look, you know, go to iTunes and pull up the deal and listen to it, and then you can hear Pastor Robert, and then you can see if you like the church, and then you can go from there. And they're like, oh, really? Cool. And there it was. So praise God. I'm glad that works. And like I said, if you go listen to the messages, please give me a 5-star rating. I don't want to hear bad reviews. We will find you if you do. But, you know, I have to admit that I have to watch myself, that I am kind of a competitive person. And but I noticed that they have a top 300, you know, like under the category of Christian iPods, there's 300. And I'm like, all right, I don't know what it takes to get to the top 300. But I started going down through them and said, oh, we can beat them. I know we can. Oh, come on, we can get them. So. But you do that by getting good reviews. So y'all give me good reviews. Tell all your friends about it. Go on Facebook. Tell them to look. Get as many as we can. So anyway, I want to go over this message again today. I started preaching this, and then last Sunday we had, you know, storms and all kinds of weather. But it was Pentecost Sunday, and I preached a message on Pentecost. And so I'm kind of back on the message that I've been preaching for two Sundays, called the 316 principle to fellowship. I want to talk to you about fellowship and to understand a little bit of what God, how He wants to have fellowship with you. Because you can say, oh yeah, God wants to have a fellowship with you, or God wants to have a relationship with you, but it's kind of hard to understand how a God who creates the heavens and the earth and all therein wants to fellowship and have a relationship with you or with me. Because we're like, we're two worlds apart. And most of the time, in the principles of having a relationship with somebody or having fellowship with somebody, you it's all based upon how well you know them, how much time you spend with them. You know, I had five categories. There's people that you know who they are. That's the end of your relationship with them. If you somebody said, well, who's that? And said, oh, that's so-and-so. But that's all you know. You don't know where they live. You don't know what they do. Then you have acquaintances. People that you do know, you know a little more about them, you know where they live and what they do, but you've never been to their house, you don't really know any, have any, you know, that much of a relationship. Then you got casual friends who, you know, they traffic in the same places that you do. You do know them, but, you know, you don't really know a lot about them. You don't not have a real close friendship with them. And then you got friends, those you've spent time with, enough time with that they know what you like, you know. They know if you like to go fishing, or you like to go, you like to eat pizza. They know a little bit more about you. And then I have what the last category, I said, what you have is called close friends. A close friend knows you and still likes you. Right? That's what a close friend is. They know you and they still like you. They can overlook your little idiosyncrasies in life, your little OCD things in life, and they still love you and want to spend time with you, okay? Those are your close friends. And so, you know, we tend to use the word in our everyday life about relationships. We use that word relationships. But biblically, the word is not really relationship, it's fellowship. And what the Greek word for fellowship is that is used so much as the word koinonia. And the word koinonia, it means it's something different. It's a close friend relationship, but where there's a sharing from each person, and each person is on an equal level. Now that's kind of hard to imagine, that you and God are sitting on an equal level. But you see, this is the problem that I've always had, and I'm always complaining about and preaching against religion. Is religion never always puts God here and man here. And there's a great chasm between you and God, and He may listen to your prayers or not. And it keeps this, wants to keep this idea, this concept that God is sitting on the throne of heaven and you're down here on earth, and He's looking over the edge and saying, yeah, I don't think I want to bless him today. But what koinonia means, and the fellowship that he's talking about that God says through the blood of Jesus he wants to have with you, is a fellowship where you're sitting down at the table with him, and you and God are dining together and sharing a meal together and talking together, and he's hearing your fears, and he's hearing your desires, and he's being a part of your whole life. That's what the Bible's talking about. That's the goal that we need to be at, where you know that you feel comfortable sitting at the table with God. Freak you out? Too much for you? You want me to stop right here and let's just go home? Y'all just all looking at me like I'm crazy. That's what the Bible teaches. Okay? Let's look at it. Go in the Bible to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. First John chapter 1, verse 5. This is a message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. We have koinonia with one another. The invitation from God Almighty to us is the doors open to heaven. I want to sit down and fellowship with you, but you're going to have to leave your way of thinking and your way of acting and your way of maybe walking, and you've got to learn to walk by the Spirit or walk in the Spirit so you can come and have fellowship with me. I want to have an intimate relationship, a koinonia relationship with you if you're willing. That's the invitation. God's sitting there saying, I'm willing. Are you? That's pretty crazy. He said you can do it because the blood of Jesus has cleansed you of all your sins, has washed them away, and now you can come and have fellowship with me. All right, we're going to get into that in just a little bit more. But the first principle to this 3:16 principle, and what it is it just is interesting to me how the Holy Ghost showed me this, is the reason why I'm calling it the 3:16 principle is because he gave me six scriptures that all are chapter 3, verse 16. So I've got six 3:16 scriptures out of the Bible. The first one is John 3:16. The first thing that you're going to do if you're going to enter into this relationship with God is you have to understand what salvation is all about. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believed in him would not perish but have everlasting life. Salvation is not just something that keeps you from going to hell. Salvation is what opens the door for you in life to walk right into the throne room of heaven and sit down and have fellowship with God because you have been made right by the blood of Jesus. That's an amazing thing. I mean, that's enough right there to shout hallelujah and dance on for the rest of your life. That your sins are washed away and you've been made right with God? Woo! Come on now. Now, I just hollered there, it made me start to think about something. I listened to iTunes the other day because I wanted to see how good it was and how well it was coming across. And as I was listening to the iTunes, I noticed that it's my microphone's picking up and I'm saying, hey, yeah, woo! And then it also picks you up from my microphone. And it was like, yeah, isn't that a great church? And you hear the solo. And I'm like, oh, that is sad. If people are listening to this, they think I got three people in church or something. I mean, so y'all need to be a little more vocal. Y'all, it's all okay, you know. And so that away, there you go, that know that there is people in here and I'm not just preaching to a mirror. So anyway, that is shouting news, right? That we are saved, that your sins have been washed away because you by faith have believed in Jesus. Amen. Okay, that's the first principle. The second 3:16 principle you find in 1 Corinthians 3:16. That says, do you not know that you're the temple of God and the Spirit of God lives and dwells on the inside of you? Now, I'm not bragging on myself, but you need to go get and listen to last week's message because I think it's the best Pentecost Sunday message that I've ever preached. God gave me a revelation and I saw something that I'd never seen, and if you miss it because you were flooded in, you need to go get it on iTunes and you need to listen to it because it was an amazing message. I don't want to go into it more right here, but the bottom line is the reason why you are now the temple of the Holy Spirit is because the blood of Jesus has cleansed you and made you righteous and holy. Therefore, you're a vessel that now can house the Spirit of God. In the Old Testament, anytime they cleansed the temple, they used blood. When the blood splattered upon the vessels or the utensils or whatever it was made holy. Well, now the blood of Jesus has been sprinkled on your life, and you're a holy vessel. So now the Spirit of God can live in you, and you can go listen to that message and get more and more, because I got to get into what we're going to do today. So it takes us to the third part. The third principle is simply this, that Jesus, however you want to say it, Jesus, God, the Father, however you want to look at this, He has to become your source for everything. When you're emotionally hurt, He has to be your source. When you're tired, He needs to be your strength. When you're financially strapped, He needs your financier. He has to be your answer for everything. Not, I'm going to work as hard as I can to get the job done, and then if I've exhausted everything, then I'm going to talk to God. You don't want to be, listen, folks, listen, let me just give you a little bit of encouragement here. You do not want to be sick in a hospital bed crying out for God to heal you before you've ever turned to your first scripture to learn if God heals or not. You're fighting from a bad position. That's like saying you have been booked in, you know, the heavyweight fight that's going to take place at the MGM Grand in Las Vegas. You're going to be in the fight. You're booked for the fight, and so now you're going to go start taking lessons on how to box. Hello? Hey, very smart, right? So he has to become your source for everything. And it has to be that you don't have to go find God, that you are living with God. Matthew 3:16 is a scripture. It says, when he had been baptized, he just came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. You need to be at that place in life that heaven has been opened to you. God has become your source of everything. You're hearing him say, you are my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Okay, so I want to take off on something this morning. Here in Romans chapter 7, just turn to Romans chapter 7. And it's kind of funny because I don't know if you've really studied your Bibles, you should have, but if you've ever read Romans chapter 7, it gets kind of confusing. And over the years, I've read Romans 7 because it's this thing Paul's talking about. The thing that I will to do that I didn't do, but I wanted to do, but I didn't do it. I did that, and I did this, and over there, and I wanted to do this, and I came out and did that, but I ended up doing this. And you're like, what? But I want to show you something about Romans chapter 7, about God being your source. Okay? I want to show you something here that I pray right now is revelation to you. That it breaks upon off chains in your mind and maybe things that you have been thinking. Because I don't know how, there's no way that I can put everybody in the same category because we're all different people. We're all unique individuals. We've all been through different ups and downs in lives. But I know that the more you fellowship with God, the more your situations in life and your past hurts are just going to be healed. The more time you spend with him, the more you're going to be healed. Just like the pictures of those orphans when they first come in and they're all messed up. And then we love them and we feed them and we take care of them. And we give them a bed and they feel secure. And then all of a sudden their countenances brighten. They become different people. That's how we're supposed to be every day by walking in the Spirit with God. Amen. The more time we spend with him, he just heals us. Our craziness just seems to leave. Life just looks better. He becomes our source. He's our everything in life. And then people look at you and say, what's going on with you? Are you on Geritol? Do they even still make Geritol? You know? I said, what are you taking? What drug must you be on? You look too happy. And you're like, man, I'm just high on Jesus. And they're like, what? But they just don't understand when you wake up in the morning that he's there with you and you're just fellowshipping with him and you're talking with him and he's your source all day long. And whenever you have a question, you're asking him. Okay, Romans chapter 7, go there and look at verse 1. Or do you not know, brethren, for I speak to those who know the law. Now you got to understand that when he's talking about the law, he's talking about the Mosaic law, the law that God handed down to Moses. It's not just 10 commandments. It was over 3,000 covenants and ordinances that went in to make the whole law. And he's talking to people who were, when you read about the Pharisees and the Sadducees, those are people that had studied the law. And as you know, today, even in our own society, lawyers study the law and our natural law. They study it and then they pick it to pieces and they find this and they find this little loophole and that little loophole and this and that and the other. Well, the Pharisees and Sadducees had done this for so long that they had built another whole law off of the law of Moses that they had devised plans and things to get around being guilty by the law. Are y'all with me? You know, it was crazy things like, okay, it's not sin for me to, I'm not supposed to work on Sunday, and so the Sabbath, but I need somebody to feed my donkey, so I'm going to hire this guy to feed my donkey so that I didn't have to feed the donkey because I don't want to be in sin, but he's in sin, but that's his problem. Now, that's a real Christian attitude, right? There was all kinds of just wild things. And so he's talking about, when he says the law here, you have to understand what he's talking about. He says that the law has dominion over a man as long as he lives. For a woman who has a husband and is bound by the law to her husband as long as he lives. Now, that makes sense, right? Y'all follow me? They got married. And so they were under a marriage covenant. But if the husband dies, she's released from the law of her husband. So if while her husband lives, she marries another man, she'd be called an adulteress. But if her husband dies, she is freed from the law, so that she is no adulteress, though she has married another man. Therefore, my brethren, you also have become dead to the law through the body of Christ, that you may be married to another, to him who raised the dead, that we should bear fruit to God. So when you just look at this first part of this chapter 7, he's saying, look, okay, obviously, if you went over and had an affair, you'd be an adulteress because you're still married to your husband. He's alive. But the moment he dies, the next day you could go marry another guy and you wouldn't be an adulteress. Right? So what changed? Well, the husband died. So the covenant was null and void. Y'all follow me? So there was no sin in what the action that took place because there was no law of her being bound to her other husband that could come upon her. Therefore, what she did the next day, this old law had nothing to do with. It was as if it never happened. Y'all following me? So what Paul's trying to bring out to the people and say, look, before there was a law sitting there. It's like I've told y'all before, if there was no speed limit, y'all could drive home as fast as you wanted to. Somebody could choose to drive 50. Somebody could choose to drive 80. If there was no speed limit, no one could stop you and ticket you for speeding. Right? Under the old law, Paul goes on here and he says that the law was brought about to show what sin is. In other words, God said, look, this was what it would take for you to be holy and a perfect person. He knew you're never going to be able to do it. He knew you're going to make a mistake. Under the law, if you were going to church on the Sabbath and you stepped on a dead squirrel, I mean, one of those that was smushed flat and you didn't really know what it was, and you stepped on it, you were unclean and you could not go to church. Are you following me? There was laws that were so meticulous and so minute that you could have broken them and not even realized you broke them. But what God was saying is holiness, it's perfection. He was trying to show mankind, you can't do it. But I've said this to y'all time and time again. we human beings are crazy. Because what we decided was that I think we could do it. I think I could keep that law. I think by works I could be perfect before God. I think we can do it. Come on, let's do it. And so Israel tried to live under the law instead of just throwing up their hands and saying, you know, Lord, we're really stupid. We can't do this. You might as well just make some kind of provision for us because we can't do it. So God says, I'm going to make a provision for you. The provision's called Jesus. Now I'm going to have him be the perfect sacrifice and pour out his blood. And he be the perfect sacrifice that's going to make all the vessels holy that believe in him. See, listen to me. Don't fall into this trap. There's a lot of preachers out there saying that, well, listen, all the world's already saved. Well, it's not true. Because there's something that has to take place. You have to believe in Jesus. There has to be a decision within the heart of man to turn to Jesus. And what's happening is, Paul is putting this illustration here, and he said, look, a woman, she was married, and so she, if she got with another guy, she'd been adulterous, but he's dead, so that's gone, so now you're over here, and so now there's no sin in what she does. He's saying you were under the law, but as the moment you look to Jesus to be the author and the finisher of your faith, the moment you look to Jesus for his blood to cover your life, well, it's just like the old law was dead and gone. So we preach all this good news. And then what do we as humans do? We go back and look at the old law and say, well, you know, that's, you know, that's some good stuff there. And, you know, that could apply. And, you know, I understand this. And, you know, gosh, I guess I really am a sinner because I ought to be doing better than I am because, you know, the law says that you weren't even supposed to do this. And I did that. And I guess that makes me a sinner. And so then what do? You get up from the supper table of God. You walk out the door thinking that he doesn't want you at the table. Or you get up from the supper table and leave because everything's gotten better in your life and you don't think you need to have fellowship with God every day. And we find ourselves separated from God, thinking God doesn't love us when the whole truth of the matter is we're the ones that got up from the table and left. He's the God that never changes. He's still sitting there at the supper table saying, come on in. I want to have fellowship with you. I want to talk to you. I want to teach you everything. I want to pour out my Holy Spirit upon you and give you wisdom and understanding and instruction. And I want you to feel good about yourself. And I want you to know that I love you. And I don't want you to have to worry about the opinion of man or have to worry about the pressures of the world. And I want to just fellowship with you. And we're like, yeah, but I think I need to be doing something. And praise God, he's a loving Heavenly Father that stays right there with us. Look down at verse 23. He says, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God that through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I will serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. If you can let me say it like this, because just for an illustration to help you understand this. If there's no law, go back to my speeding example. There's no law for speeding. There's nothing on the books. Then you can't be ticketed, right? So then therefore you could not be speeding. If we're going to call speeding a sin, using this example, we'll use that as our example. There's no law, then you could never sin. Is that right? Am I preaching goofy here? You can't be accused of doing something wrong if there's no law to say that it's wrong. Okay, so let's just put sin, let's just say sin is like a third person. The law is one person, you're one person, and sin is one person. So you're driving down the road and there is a law. It says you got to be going 55. And you're driving along. You haven't got caught yet. Let me ask you. It's like those, what's those saying, you know, if a tree falls in the forest and nobody's there to hear it? If you're driving down the road and you're speeding, you're breaking the speed limit, but nobody caught you, were you guilty? Whee! Y'all need to all be looking good here this morning. You know, we have a retired DPS officer over here, so he's watching. But in our mind, we don't think we're guilty. Hello? But if you are, if you're speeding, you're already guilty before you ever got caught. So you're being caught after the fact, right? When you do get caught. And honestly, I got to, you know, we're all the same. If I get stopped once a year, I don't really care because a thousand times I've sped. So to me, it's the law of averages. I won. Amen. You know, I mean, I just don't worry about it much. It's like, all right, well, whatever. I'm wrong. I know I'm wrong. You should never do that. Anyway, my point here is, the law is saying it's 55. You're speeding. So the law now has you in a guilty place. The moment that that happens, the third person steps in called sin. Now I'm trying to help you just to think about this. It's not really this way. I'm just trying to make an example here, okay? Sin's not a person. And then this person called sin now is talking in your ear all the time, saying you're a sinner. Are y'all with me? All right. Your mind starts logging into what the third person sin's saying to you. He's logging in your mind. He's writing it all down. The law of your mind's writing it all down. Yep, you're a sinner, 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 you're a sinner. So now you got saved. You found out about Jesus. You ask him to come into your life. He came into your life. He saved you. His blood washed you and made you clean. You got out of the old law and stepped into the new law of God, which is simply believe in me, trust in me, and my blood will wash you and cleanse your sins. When you make a mistake, repent, and my blood will wash you and cleanse you. And when you make a mistake, repent, and my blood will wash you and cleanse you. That's it. But what happens to this law of our mind up here? Because it's living in the past. And what happens is our mind is living in the past, and instead of Jesus becoming our source and us sitting at the table every day and fellowshipping with him, the law of our mind comes in and says, you really think you have the right to sit at the table with God? Who do you think you are? You can't do this. You were speeding. You maybe didn't get caught, but God knows you were speeding because God knows everything and you're guilty. And your mind talks you out of getting up from the table and walking outside and leaving the presence of God because it's convinced you that you're a sinner. Because you're living in the past. You're bringing up past memories and past things. You're not living in the now. The now says you're free because of the blood of Jesus. Amen. Sin didn't have dominion over you. Okay, you got to understand something. When you read the Bible, there was never written with chapters and verses. Man put that in there. So now go to chapter 8, verse 1, and it really is the end of the story for what chapter 7 was talking about. Verse 1, Romans 8, 1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. He's saying, look, if you go back and you're walking according to the flesh, you've got your old mind, your mind has taken you back into remembrance of your past and the way you should be, well, then you know what? You're going to walk in sin and death in your mind. You're going to walk it out. You're going to separate yourself from God. But if you walk by the Spirit and understand the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus that's made you free from the law of sin and death, then you're going to want to wake up every morning and sit at the table and feast with God. And you're not going to be ashamed of it. You are not going to at all feel like you're out of place. You're going to feel like you're home. Because that's where you belong, because the blood of Jesus has cleansed you of all your unrighteousness and made you holy and righteous before God. He's your source now. He's your everything. Nothing can talk you out of it. You're walking with God every day. Let's read on here. It says, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." What people have done and pull that out of text is they're trying to say, oh, well, that means I walk by the Spirit, that I walked and did nothing wrong. Well, stupid, you can't do that. I don't care who you are. I don't care how good you think you are. You're going to make a mistake. Because if you want to go back to the old law, what are you doing? We're not going to keep it. I don't want to be under the old law. I cannot live by it. I'm guilty before I get started. You cannot mix New Testament Christianity by faith and belief in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and the condemnation of the Old Testament and mix the two together and come up with your religion. It is either one or the other. Either, according to what Paul was saying in Romans 7:1, you're either an adulteress or you're not. I choose to be free. I choose to every morning wake up and say, oh, Lord, thank you for your blood that covers me, washes me. Thank you, Jesus. Without the blood of Jesus, man, I'm toast. I'm not going to make it today, Lord. I'm going to sin before my foot hits the floor. Oh, come on. You had never woke up with a bad thought in the morning? Huh? All I'm saying to you, church, is I want to live under the Spirit of the law of life and liberty. I want freedom. I want Jesus to be my source. I want to sit at the table of God and feast with Him. And the only way you can do it is to tell your brain, your mind, and the law of your mind to shut up and renew it to what the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus is and live by it. You cannot go back to the past. You cannot relive the past. You cannot let your mind go back there and drag you into that place. You've got to tell it to shut up. You have got to renew your thinking. It says, "For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh." That's right. They set their minds on the things of the flesh. We all have enemies. I like to read the Old Testament, where David said, "Lord, give me the necks of my enemies and let my foot be upon their throat." And I'm like, yeah. And then I read the New Testament. It says, "Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you." And you're like, ugh. But I'm learning that I want my mind set on the Spirit of the law of life in Christ Jesus. And I don't want it set on the old one. And I don't want to have to go put my foot on their neck. And so I'm saying, okay, Lord, bless them. You go, because you said then you would heap burning fiery coals upon their head. Let me get out of the way. You may be trying to send a ball of fire down on them, and I'm in the way. Frank, lay down here. Let me put my foot on your neck, and I'll show this example. Yeah, I don't want my foot on their neck while I'm trying to dodge the fireball of God. Hello? So I just want to live under the New Testament. So if he says to love my enemies, I say, well, okay, I don't know if I can work up love at the moment, but God bless them, you know, bless them. I'm at least getting somewhere. You follow me? Because I want to live under the law of spirit of life, because the spirit of life causes me to sit at the table with God, and he's my source. If I want to get into the Old Testament so that I might put my foot upon the neck of my enemy, well, wait, now I'm mixing my doctrines. I'm mixing my Old and New Testament together and coming up with the Robert Richards version. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. See, your mind takes you back into that old, and you can't go there, church. You can't go there. All right? Now, I think I've said enough about that. I think I've made my point. Amen? Y'all got it? Man, don't go back into the law. He's your source. Man, you want to be basking in the blood of Jesus every day. You want to be walking and confessing with him and letting his blood wash you and cleanse you. And you don't want to get up from the supper table of God and leave. You want to have fellowship with him. But that takes me to this next point I just want to touch on, and then I'm going to be shutting down. The fourth point is... Well, I got to stop. I got to follow the Holy Ghost here. This is what I want to do. Okay, we're going to have a little... Just go with me on this one. All right? Just put your Bibles down and stand up for a second. I just believe... Listen to me. I believe with all of my heart that God... You know, he's doing a new thing in these days. Y'all listen to me. He's doing a new things in these days. Used to we had to, you know, get everybody to the front. We had to lay hands on them. We had to pray and shake and do whatever until we try to get you to receive something from God or whatever. But God's doing a new thing today. He's doing an Acts 10 thing where he just falls on people, falls on you, delivers you, sets you free right where you are, standing there, out in the field, at home, in your car, in your bed, and taking a shower. You just think it's water falling on you, but it's the Holy Ghost, and he sets you free. And he just breaks chains, and you wake up in the morning, and you say, wow, I just feel lighter today. Well, it's because last night God gave you a dream and just delivered you. This is the day we're in, church. And right now, today, I'm telling you, God wants to set you free. He wants to deliver you. He wants you not to be thinking. He wants you, all of y'all, these beautiful people I'm looking at this morning, all of y'all that are listening out there, he wants to be at the supper table with you. He wants to be sitting there and just turning right there to you and just sharing with you and talking to you. He wants that. I'm telling you, I know that's the heart of the Father. He wants you to be able to ask him questions and talk to him. God, why is this going on in my life? Why? I don't quite understand what this is all about. I mean, this morning, listen to me, this morning I was feeding my sheep and I got one that's kind of sickly. And I was talking to Jesus about it. I said, Lord, what's wrong with that one, man? Looks like he got pulled through a pipe backwards or something, you know. He just don't look right. What's going on with him? He said, well, call a vet. Well, I'm just talking to Jesus about it. It's my problem. I want to see. You see what I'm saying? I want him involved in everything. And I didn't have to get down on my knees and pray and go and do all this. He's just there. He said, well, how do you know he's there? I know he's there because I'm believing in Jesus and I'm walking in the New Testament. I ain't living in the Old Testament. He said, well, who do you think you are? You're not a sinner? Poor, I sin. I make mistakes. That old third person, the sinner, the Mr. Sin would be at my house living if I didn't keep myself under the blood of Jesus. But I keep myself under the blood of Jesus because, listen to me. Oh, this is good. Folks, listen to me. When sin comes knocking at your door, just throw some blood on him. Yeah. When sin comes knocking on your door, just throw some blood on him. So that's the blood of Jesus. Take that. Amen. Amen. You say, well, Pastor, that's just too simple. It is. Amen. I was outside praying this morning before church. Y'all just hold on. Your feet, I've been standing the whole time. It's good for your circulation. I was outside praying this morning, and I've got these stupid sheep. And they're right in the time where some of the ewes are trying to wean the lambs off of them anyway. And so I think it's like, because I've been playing with my grandsons in the swimming pool, Marco Polo. You know how you know the game Marco Polo, you know, where you say Marco and the other one's supposed to say Polo and you sort of find them in the pool. Well, I'm beginning to think the sheep are like that. The ewe goes up and she kind of hides from the lamb. She's getting ready to wean. And then the lambs turn up and say, "Oh, my God, where's Mama?" You know, they start, "Wah, wah, wah." And she won't say anything. You know, so it's like Marco Polo. She's just being quiet, hiding up, and they go running all over the place. And then they got the rest of them stirred up. And then they're all blading everywhere. And I just turned to the Lord and I said, "Man, I'll tell you, I'm hurt and embarrassed that you refer to us as sheep. I mean, look at how stupid that thing is." And then it was so hilarious. The two little lambs run up and they're just blading and blading. "Oh, God." You'd see, like, you'd think there was lions coming to attack them, you know. And then finally the mother, "Mah." And then they turn and go the wrong direction. I heard where she was. The other direction is tearing off. And I'm like, "You're so stupid. She was right there." And that's how we are as the sheep of the Lord. And it was like I felt the reassurance of God saying, "No, that's just like y'all are." God's sitting there going to give us everything, and we're running around like lunatics, all in the wrong direction, and we just can't accept the fact that His blood is a powerful enough force to set everything apart, set us apart, divide us from sin, get us living for Him, get His blood being poured out for us, can run sin off and do whatever demon in hell has to flee from it. But we're like, "Oh, well, maybe I need to do something." No, you need to be quiet and you need to get the blood of Jesus on your life. Amen. He needs to become your source of everything and sit down at the table and calm down. But He wants you delivered. And the Holy Spirit just keeps telling me over and over, right now, He wants you, it's this new day, He wants to set you free. And all you got to do is get the blood of Jesus on your life. He said, "Well, I got saved once and I brought..." Don't go there. Don't get into pride. And you say, "Well, you know, I'm not as bad of a sinner as they are." I mean, don't get into, let pride come into there. Folks, listen to me. Fall down at the temple, at the altar of God, and say, "Lord, I need Your blood. I need You to set me free. I need You to forgive me. I need You to wash me. I need You to cleanse me. I want to be at the table. I don't want to live in works." Listen, if you're mad at God, you don't understand why things have happened in your life, you don't understand what's going on and why this happened and that happened and why this is taking place, listen to me. I don't know, but He knows. Go talk to Him about it. "Well, I'm mad at Him. I don't want to talk to Him." Well, at least sit at the table and maybe you'll get some information. Are y'all with me? So what I want to do is, I just want to pray for you right now. I just want to pray for you. I want to pray you'll get your fellowship back with God by the blood of Jesus. So what I want to do is, you know, I'm no altar call. I'm not going to call you up here to the front, lay hands on you, and think, I'm going to ask you right there where you're standing to just bow your heads, just close your eyes, look into your heart, and you know where you are in life. And I'm going to pray over you. Father, right now in Jesus' name, you see every heart in here. You see every heart of the people that are listening today. And Lord, I just declare that where they've lost that fresh touch with You, they've lost that enjoying the supper table of God, where that fellowship has been broken and that place in their life that they used to have is gone, that right now, today, Lord, by the words that have been spoken, that You have etched them into their hearts, that, Lord, they see that the law of sin and death has been broken in their lives by the blood of Jesus, and that they can live under the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. And that, Lord, right now, they refuse to go back in the past They refuse to let the law of their minds rule their lives. They're not going to go back in the past. They're not going to be remembering the past sins. They're not going to be kept in the past, but they're going to live in the today, the now, of you washing and cleansing their lives. I break every stronghold and chain that's held them bound to the past and declare right now in the name of Jesus that you're free. You're free and able to walk in the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. And everyone say this with me. Say, Jesus, thank you today that I'm free. I'm free to walk in the Spirit of life because of your blood. I don't want to walk in death. I don't want to walk in works. I don't want to walk with sin. I want to be free. I declare the law of my mind does not rule me. I declare I am born again. I'm washed in the blood. I belong to you. And I am free. In the name of Jesus. Now look at the person beside you and say, boy, it feels good. I'm free. Come on, look at somebody else around behind you and say, woo! Now, praise God. Just be seated for a second. Now I want to give you one last little lesson. One last little word here. I'm not going to go to the fourth point, although it's a really good one. I'd like to jump into it, but I'm not going to do it. I can guarantee you, listen to me. I can guarantee you. I mean, if y'all want to, I got some money in my pocket. Y'all want to go to betting? Let's go for it. Because I'm going to fill up my pockets and win on this one. I bet you, you're going to walk out that door. Listen to me. And the devil is going to come immediately to steal the good word that was just sown in your heart. I preached like the wind last Sunday. I left this building at probably 12:30, a quarter till 1. By 1:40, I'd already gotten attacked and almost lost everything that I preached to you on Sunday. All because I wasn't ready. I just was excited about the message. I just was excited about what God had showed me. And I just forgot about the stinking devil. I just forgot that he's always wanting to snipe me. Always wanting to, all of us. He's always wanting to steal that word. And I want you to know, I didn't lose it. I was hit, you know, and then I complained about being hit, and then I whined about being hit, and then I licked my wound some, and poor me, I got hit, I shouldn't have got hit, and I whined about it. Then I finally got up and got mad and pulled the air out, and then, you know, I started kind of praying for Jesus to heal it, and then I finally worked my way around to dealing with the subject. But the problem was of the whole situation was that I just wasn't prepared. Because if I'd have been prepared, I'd have been like a ninja. I'd have missed that thing. Gone by my head and I'm like, you didn't get me. But I'm telling you, this is something special today. And I'm telling you, the enemy's going to want to steal it from you. He's going to want to get you back into condemnation. He's going to want to get you back into, that works mentality. And don't go there. Catch him. Catch him right off the bat and sling some blood around. I mean, just tell him, you want me to be slinging blood? I sling blood everywhere. And get out there and get using the blood of Jesus and get him to shut up. Are y'all with me? You say, well, how do I do that? Well, you just say, in the name of Jesus, and stay free. Stay at the supper table with God. Stay learning. Stay growing. Stay fresh. Stay, on track. Don't get into works. Don't get into that old garbage. Stay free in the spirit of law of life. I mean, just think of the law of life. I like it. Don't beat yourself up. Don't let that condemnation come in there. Stay free. Amen? Look at the person beside you and say, stay free. Amen. Praise God. So this help you? It's good stuff. Good stuff. Amen. Okay, now let me have my prayer team come down and y'all stand up again. Get you some exercise here. Glory to God. Y'all all think you went to a Catholic church this morning. Got you standing up and sitting down. So if you're here this morning and if you want some prayer, more prayer, and you want to talk to one of these people up here, want to visit, want some prayer, we're here. If you're interested in talking about freedom prayer, then Lex and Jeannie are here, and they can talk to you about that. And so anyway, just grab that person's hand beside you and say, man, I'm ready to go. Woo! So, Lord, I just declare right now as we leave this building, we're going out as free people. We're going out as victorious. We're going out, and, Lord, we're just going to stay fellowshipping with you. I declare that the blood of Jesus cleanses us from everything. The blood of Jesus sets us free. And as we go out there in this world, we've got a good word and good news to tell people that, Lord, you love them, you care for them, and that, Lord, you want to see them free and delivered. And so, Lord, we give you praise for it. We thank you for it. And just bring us all back together again, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. God bless you.